Translation. Raghava Pandit, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's original follower, is understood to have been the seventh branch. From him proceeded another sub-branch, headed by Makaradvaj Kara, purport. Kara was the surname of Makaradvaj. At present, this surname is generally found in the Kayastha community, the Gora Kanodesha Deepika 1.1666 states, Danista Baksha Shanagaram Kriyayadat Fraje Nitram Saifa Sampratam Goranga Priyo Raghava Pandita. Raghava Pandit was formerly a confidential gopi in Fraja during the time of Lord Krishna's pastimes, and his former name was Danista. This gopi Danista always engaged in preparing foodstuffs for Krishna. The first before, which we did in, what's that? Yeah, 22, they started with 22. Jagannanda Pandit, as an incarnation of who? Satyabhama, always wanted to see to the comfort of Lord Chaitanya. But since the Lord was a sannyasi, he did not accept the luxuries that Jagannanda Pandit offered. They sometimes appeared to fight over trifles, but these quarrels were based on their affection, of which I shall speak later. Om Agyanti Maranda Shyakyanam Jana Tharkaya Chakshur Mirtam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stabitam Yena Buddhale Svayam Rupa Kadama Yanta Dantisva Vedantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuli Shinanda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivinda Tapta Kanchana Gaur Nagirade Vindavanishwari Vrishavana Suti Devi Prani Hari Pye E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jakarpate Gopisha Gopika Kantadara Kantana Musite Namo Brahmai Devaya Go Brahmani Taita Jagat Hitai Krishna Yago Vindaya Namo Namaha. So, I was actually so looking at the two verses before, and where was it? And I wanted to read that one, although you have heard it last week. The translation went, O Chandramukha, please give me 10,000 Gandharvas, let them sing as I dance, and then I will be greatly happy. Who's speaking? Who remembers who was saying that? Who's the dancer in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Vakreshwa Pandit. What means Chandramukha? Huh? Moon face, Chandra Mukha. This is just a nice name to address Lord Chaitanya, a moon-faced one, like that. And so the verse before that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally sang while Vakreshwar Pandit danced, and thus Vakreshwar Pandit fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke like this, please give me 10,000 Gandharvas, let them sing as I dance, and thus I will be greatly happy. Then Lord Chaitanya replied, I have only one wing like you, but if I had another, certainly I would fly in the sky. So nice pastimes. You know, the Lord, it's personal. And the Lord has a personal relationship with each one of them, just like we have personal relationship with each other. And but the Lord's relationship with his associates, you know, they're full of love. You know, our relationships are sometimes clouded by our interest or covered by our envy or whatever, you know, and this way our relationships are not that pure. So you can see here that Vakreshwar Pandit, he was one of the main dancers of the Lord. And if you like to dance, you know, never be shy to dance. Sometimes someone is just a swinger who loves to dance. You know, who used to go to the disco and dance in the middle of, and then, you know, because they see all the other devotees not dance, they think, oh, maybe dancing is Maya or whatever. Just like in the beginning when I joined, I thought, oh, you know, I was an actor, so I thought, oh, acting is Maya, you know, so no acting more anymore. And then I realized afterwards that no, you can act for Krishna. And actually, Krishna loved acting, plays. Lord Chaitanya loves plays. Srila Prabhupada loved plays. I just just saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada, and he was watching a play in New York, and he was laughing so much, and all the other devotees present, they hardly saw anything of the play because they were all looking at Prabhupada, who was enjoying so much. He was going, oh, like this. And anyway, so in this song here, let me see that first. Sanjaya Mukunda Vasukos. He says that Sanjaya and Mukunda, and Vasukos, Mukunda and Vasukos, they sing. So we have our qualities. We are created by the Lord to have certain qualities, to serve Him in a certain way, either to cook for Him, or to dance for Him, or to sing for Him, or to tell Him off, or whatever, you know. Like the Lord is the Supreme Lord, and everyone is afraid of the Lord, but the Lord Himself is afraid of Maria Soda. I just heard Srila Prabhupada saying, you know, he's trembling, and you know, and his tears in his eyes, and so afraid that Maria Soda is panicking. Oh, no, I shouldn't make him too fearful, or else, you know, it's not good for his health, etc., or his mental state. He becomes so afraid of me. So we are all created differently, and that's why, you know, we have been given these talents. Well, you know, you can become expert in many things. You can become expert and in cooking and in preaching, you know, and playing the madanga and so many things, you know, and you don't even know what your original state is. You know, if you might be a bird or a peacock, you don't know. But you know, if there is someone more qualified, you know, just like I'm giving the class, if there would be a sannyasi present, or then I would ask, please give Maharaj, give the class. And then, you know, because I would be embarrassed to speak in front of him, because I'm not actually so learned in the scriptures. But if he would say, no, you give class, then I'll give class. So it's like that. And so if you sing, if you play, if you do anything, cook or whatever, and there's someone more qualified, then say, please, you do it. You know, and if they say, no, you go ahead, it's nice, then do it. Like that. So here is talking about Jagannath Pandit. Jagannath Pandit was quite a character. He's one of, yeah, sometimes he said some outrageous things. Like to whom did he say to drink malted lead for his offense? To whom did he say that? Remember? I've forgotten it. All of you forgot. and then for purification, since you drink, melt lead and you drink that, of course the evil die, you know. And also Jagannath Pandit, I have his little book, and he says, actually, you know, I'm not a singer. I never sing, he says. That's why I never sing, because I can't sing. I sing like a crow. And he's quite a character. That one time he brought a very nice oil for Lord Chaitanya to either give him a massage or for his... And then Lord Chaitanya said, no, I can't. I'm a sannyasi. And then he just threw this expensive oil, he just threw it on the floor and walked off, run off in a huff. You know, like that. So, and in Krishna Leela, he is Satyabhama. And Krishna's number one queen is Queen Rukmini. And Rukmini is very, very gentle and she just is there to please the Lord. She's called right-wing. Right-wing people are who says everything, oh, what can I do for you? Can I serve you? And they just want to please you. And left-wing means they speak back to you. If you do something which you don't like, and then they speak, oh, why you do this? You know, oh, well, how about this? You know, like this. And Krishna and that queen, they have arguments, which is also nice for Krishna. He likes variety. So he likes the variety of a queen who's saying yes and amen, and the other one who quarrels back. It's also nice to quarrel, you know, and then to make up again. So one time, Krishna, when he was sitting in his palace, and the maidservants were fanning him with a chamara, and then Queen Rukmini entered the palace, and she took over the chamara, and then Lord Krishna jokingly said, you know, my dear queen, you know, there were so many princes who wanted to marry you, you know, so many, much more, you know, better off than me, much more qualified, this. And you know, why did you choose me? And and he was going on like that. And then she became so scared that he was going to leave her, or that she just fainted, just like, psh, she just fainted on the floor. And then Krishna, he completely flipped out. And he said, oh, I didn't mean it. I was just joking, like that. And jai shri sri radha gokulanda sitaram lakshman shri gonitai ki jai hari bol. And such a bama is the opposite, you know. And she sees that Krishna has given a certain flower to one of the other queens, and she didn't like that. She wanted also a flower. And Krishna brought her to the heavenly planets, and he uprooted the whole tree, you know, of the Parijata flower, like that, for her. And, and her father, King Satyajit, you know, he was very puffed up. and there's a whole story about that. And so even if you're in Krishna's pastimes, there is fear. You know, and there's all kinds of emotions. So sometimes you feel like you're going mad, or you want to die, like that. And it's just for pastime's sake. So today is the appearance of Lord Farah, Dave, and I was asked to say something about him. And I haven't prepared anything. I just copied the story, and I'm just going to read it to you. It's a nice story as well. One second. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare. So there were two brothers, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and they were both incarnations of, they were both cursed in a previous time. They were the gatekeepers of the Lord, and one time they offended the Kumaras, and then the Kumaras cursed him because they were not allowed, the little boys were not allowed to enter the palace. And so they were cursed. And then they had a choice to choose to take birth 7 times as a devotee of the Lord on the planet Earth, or 3 times as a demon, someone who is against the Lord. And they thought, well, 3 times and we're quicker back at home, you know. So okay, let's play the part of the demon 3 times. So when I've said it before, when Krishna performs his pastimes when he descends, either as Lord Ram, then the characters who are participating in the pastimes, all the demons and the devotees, they're all devotees. He doesn't play with non-devotees. It's like that. So Jai and Vijay, they took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So at that time, the story begins when Hiranyakashipu has conquered the whole world. And Hiranyaksha is the younger brother. And to satisfy Hiranyakashipu, he took his club and began to travel all over the universe with a fighting spirit. Because no one was able to kill him due to Brahma's benediction, even the demigods fearfully hid upon seeing Hiranyaksha, just as snakes hide out of fear of Garuda. When Hiranyaksha thus saw Indraloka vacant, he roared loudly, understanding that the demigods had admitted defeat without even fighting. Cowards, he might be thinking. After returning from heaven, Hiranyaksha sportingly dove deep into the ocean, and upon seeing him, all of the great aquatics panicked and fled. Can you imagine? A big sharks and bigger, and they go, like that. Nobody, they go, and they go, so finally, after moving about in the ocean for many years, can you imagine many years? Hiranyaksha reached Vibhavari, Varuna's capital. Just to make fun of the Lord of the Waters, Hiranyaksha fell at his feet and smilingly begged, "Give me battle, O Supreme Lord." Upon seeing Hiranyaksha's arrogance, Varuna became enraged. Still, he curbed his anger by means of intelligence and replied, "O dear one, I have given up fighting because I'm too old. You are so skilled in battle that I can see no one else, but the most ancient person, Lord Vishnu, only can satisfy you. O chief of the Daityas, I suggest that you approach him and just become rid of your pride by lying down dead upon the battlefield, surrounded by carnivorous animals." Without paying any more heed to Varuna, Hiranyaksha departed. Very wise, this... But still, he was angry, so he was still doing that little bit. So he said politely, and then still he got, you know, lying dead there. It's a little, you know, sarcastic with all the animals. So that, because he was very angry, of course. So then, when he happened to meet the great sage Narada, the demon learned the whereabouts of the Supreme Lord. After once again entering the depths of the ocean, Hiranyaksha saw the all-powerful Supreme Lord in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upwards while keeping her on the end of his tusks. Upon seeing the Lord, the demon laughingly exclaimed, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Amphibious beast. O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, the earth belongs to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and so I cannot allow you to take it away from our presence, you rascal. Today I shall liven my kinsmen by killing you. And when you fall down dead with your skull smashed by my mace, the devas and rishis who offer you oblations and sacrifice will also cease to be, just like a tree that can no longer live without roots. Although the Lord was certainly pained to hear such abusive language, he tolerated it, so that he could continue carrying the earth, which has become very frightened. So although the Lord knows, you know, these are my devotees playing, in the sake of the story, he gets absorbed in the story, so he take offense also, and he gets angry, and like that. So he is in charge. You know, he's in control, he's a supreme lord, all-knowing. But if he performs his pastimes, you know, he puts himself in under a kind of illusion that he forgets that he's God, like that. So, as Lord Varaha rose sometimes, not always, sometimes. So as Lord Varaha rose out of the water, Hiranyaksha chased him and roared, "Are you not ashamed of yourself for running away after being challenged by an adversary? There's nothing that is reproachable for shameless creatures like you." Despite these harsh words, Lord Varaha calmly placed the earth upon the surface of the water and then empowered her with the capacity to float. At this time, Lord Brahma and the other demigods praised the Lord for his wonderful act of lifting up the earth, and they showered flowers upon him. Then, to express his terrible anger, the Lord replied, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle and are searching for hunting dogs like you." Isn't it nice? "One who is free from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you are indulging, for you are bound up by the laws of death. Now give up your foolish talk and attempt to kill me. One may be very proud, but he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promise." Being thus challenged, Hiranyaksha became very angry and agitated, and his whole body began to tremble. You have that feeling? This Arudra principle, when you get anger, your lip quiver, and your fists go like this when you're getting, and so you tremble, your whole shaker, got taken over. So that, you know, it's like that. It's a principle, and that's you can see that. That's why if you have experience in life, you know if someone is angry in front of you, even if he tries to hide it, you can see, you know, by just a little moving of the lip, or just like by really going like like all these things you just learned, and then he didn't like what I said. Hiranyakashipu became very angry and agitated, and his whole body began to tremble while hissing. You know, you go like hissing. That's also like a sign of anger. While hissing indignantly, the demon sprang at the Lord and tried to strike him with his powerful mace. By moving aside, however, the Lord dodged the blow, and then with his own mace, he attempted to smash Hiranyakashipu's forehead. But being an expert fighter, the demon blocked the blow with his own mace, however, and thereafter a fierce encounter took place. As both combatants struck one another repeatedly with their strong clubs, the smell of blood that flowed from the wounds made them more and more furious. Being very eager for victory, both the Lord and the demon exhibited wonderful maneuvers so that the battle looked like a contest between two powerful bulls for the sake of a cow. Lord Brahma had been staying in the sky along with all demigods and celestial rishis so that he could witness the terrible fight that was being waged for the sake of the earth. Becoming somewhat anxious, he addressed Lord Varaha. So can you imagine? So every time Lord Varaha beats him, you go, So they like that, you know, like that. So you can imagine that. So Lord Brahma, you know, he gets a little anxious. He says, "My dear Lord, Hiranyaksha has always oppressed the demigods, brahmanas, cows, and other innocent creatures. There's no need for you to play with this serpentine demon any longer, for he is very skilled in utilizing mystic powers, and he is most arrogant and wicked. My dear infallible Lord, please kill him before this demonic hour of twilight arrives and thus increases his strength." The auspicious period called Abhijit began at noon and has almost passed. Thereafter, please dispose of your formidable enemy quickly and thus establish peace within the world. In response, the Lord heartily laughed. Why did he heartily laugh? What do you think? Huh? Who said someone there? I hear something. Yeah. Very good. He has understood it. Did you get it? What he said? Say it louder. Louder. No, I will say it for those people listening at home. Because the Lord is a supreme Lord. So anything auspicious or inauspicious, you know, he's above it, you know. So when it becomes, dusky, then, you know, it says in the scriptures that one shouldn't take rest when it's dusky because, you know, the ghost, blah, 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 bad dreams, blah, blah, blah. And sorry. That's why he was laughing. So auspicious and auspicious. So while at the same time he accepted Brahma's prayers with a glance that was laden with love. Like, what's a glance laden with love? Don't worry. Like, don't worry. So like that. You know. So nice. Then as Hiranyakashipu fearlessly stood nearby, Lord Varaha suddenly sprang at him while aiming his mace at the demon's chin. Hiranyaksha blocked the blow with his own mace, however, and as a result, the Lord's club slipped from his hand. That blazing mace looked splendid while whirling around and around as it fell, and a great cry of alarm arose from the onlooking demigods and rishis. Can you imagine? Can we all say that? you're not playing your part, right? Still, even though we had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe, Hiranyaksha respected the etiquette for single combat by refraining from doing so. That's like the Kshatriya spirit, you know, if you're fighting with a sword and one drops his sword, then you wait till he picks it up, or you throw your own sword away and then you take your next weapon, a club or a catapult or whatever. Then, you know, it's the same, it's very same. That is the Kshatriya code of honor. And it's very honorable. But somehow or other the Lord didn't like it. He became angry. He was insulted by it. Because it says, this kindled the Lord's fury even more, however, and he invoked his Sudarshan Chakra as this wonderful disc revolved in the Lord's hand. While he was at close quarters with his enemy, the demigods and rishis exclaimed, may victory be yours! Dispatch him at once! Don't play with the demon any longer! Seeing Lord Varaha before him with the Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, Hiranyaksha resentfully bit his lip. You know, what should you do? If you really, if you do something very difficult to do, you go like, right? You bite on your lip and began to hiss like a serpent. So I was angry. Just then, that great demon with fearful tusks suddenly sprang into the air while wielding his club. And while doing so, he shouted, you are slain! As Hiranyaksha tried to strike him, Lord Varaha playfully kicked the mace from his hand with his left foot and said, pick up your weapon, since you are so eager to conquer me. Being so challenged, Hiranyaksha picked up his mace and then hurled it while roaring loudly. Without even flinching, however, Lord Varaha easily caught the mace in his hand, and so the demon felt greatly humiliated. Being reluctant to take back his weapon when the Lord offered it to him, Hiranyaksha instead picked up a flaming trident and violently hurled it. As the trident blazed brightly while soaring to the sky, Lord Varaha tore it to pieces by releasing his Sudarshan Chakra. At this, the demon became more enraged, and while letting out a loud roar, he rushed at Lord Varaha's impetuously, thank you. After striking the Lord on the chest with his hard fist, Hiranyaksha immediately disappeared. The Lord wasn't disturbed in the least by the blow, however, any more than an elephant would feel hurt being struck by a flower garland. Thereafter, Hiranyaksha powered many conjuring tricks against the Lord, who is Yogeshwar, and all who saw the magical display thought that the dissolution of the universe was at hand. 5 minutes longer. Fierce winds began blowing at the dust that was raised, created darkness in all directions. Torrents of stones fell from the sky, along with showers of pus, hair, blood, stool, urine and bones, accompanied by lightning and thunder. Mountain discharged various weapons, and naked demonesses with their hair hanging loose suddenly appeared, carrying tridents. Hosts of yakshas and rakshasas were heard uttering cruel and savage slogans as they marched on foot or rode upon horses, elephants, and chariots. By releasing his Sudarshan Chakra, however, the Lord was able to dispel all of these illusions, and at that moment, a shudder of terror passed to Diti's heart. Diti is the mother of the two demons. While recalling the words of her husband, blood began to flow from her breast. When Hiranyaksha saw that his magical creations had been dispelled, he once again made himself visible. In a fit of rage, he tried to crush the Lord within his arms as a last resort. But to his great surprise, after trying to grab the Lord, the demon found that he was still outside the circle of his arms. Like that. Then as Hiranyaksha angrily struck him with his fist, Lord Varaha slapped him indifferently at the root of the ear, making him stagger backwards, with his eyeballs bulging out of their sockets, his hair scattered, and his limbs broken. The great demon fell down dead like an uprooted tree. Lord Brahma and the other demigods quickly arrived at the spot to see the slain body of the demon close up. You see, some people say, you know, I'm sure that when I die, many people will come just to make sure I'm dead. In spite of the absence of the soul, because the Lord's lotus foot remained touching it. One second. In spite of the absence of the soul, because the Lord's lotus feet remained touching it, Lord Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet with such a blessed death? This fortunate demon was struck by the lotus feet of the Lord upon whom yogis meditate in mystic trance in the hopes of gaining liberation from their unreal material bodies." Thereafter, the demigods expressed a great appreciation for the Lord's having assumed his Varaha form and relieving them of their agonizing fear of the demon. After receiving the demigods' praises, the Lord returned to his own abode in the spiritual world, where there is always an uninterrupted festival going on. Sutta Goswami concluded his narration by saying, "O Brahmana, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful description of Lord Varaha's killing of Hiranyaksha is at once relieved from the results of all kinds of sinful activities, including the killing of a Brahmana." Jai. Lord Varadeva ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Srila Prabhupada, by whose mercy we have kindly become aware of this wonderful pastime. Ki. Hare Krishna. So it's late. No time for questions. Thank you very much. One question? The quarter two? On Saturday. Okay. Ooh, don't ask difficult questions. Okay. Questions, please.